Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Friday live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. J-Mac Jason McIntyre's been in all week. He's been great. And so after this weekend, they've cut the preseason down to 4. So if you got any problems with your team, got a little less time to figure it out, got to figure it out at scrimmages, and it appears the Bears have some issues despite last night. There are moments they actually looked okay against a feeble Seahawks. What'd you make of it?
Chicago Bears are terrible. That's a 4-win team comment.
You may not be wrong. So let's start with that. So I had said earlier this week, the best players for the Bears last several years have mostly been defensive players. Their best player this year is Roquan Smith, and he wants more money. And I said I would trade him, as good as he is, even if he's the best player, and I'd go get an elite tackle, a solid wide receiver, and draft picks to help Justin Fields. So a lot of you thought it was crazy. Well, that Seahawk defense isn't dominant, and Justin Fields running for his life. And in weeks 1 and 3, they play the Niners in Green Bay, elite defenses. Good luck. Bad O-line, one legitimate receiver, and a defensive coach, which I don't think helps. Just think about 1 through 6, what they've done since he's been drafted. So they draft him. In the second round that year, they draft a tackle with some issues, back issues. He's already had back surgery. He whiffed at tackle. They've moved him to guard. Also in year 1, they tweak quarterback 1 when they get Andy Dalton. So you create a quarterback controversy. Oh, they go back and forth during the year, flip-flopping back and forth with Dalton and Fields, hurting his confidence. Nobody at any job would want that. Then they fire the offensive coach. And then they let their best receiver go in free agency. How they could not afford him is beyond any grasp, considering they don't have many great players. Allen Robinson, now a Ram. And okay, now they hire a defensive coach, first-time head coach, and a first-time offensive coordinator. 1 through 6. You are writing a book on how not to do it. Throw in the fact that they had to trade up for Justin Fields, so they didn't have a lot of premium draft capital. Throw in the fact this year, instead of like Lamar Jackson always getting high draft picks, running backs, tight ends, receivers, a center. No, the Bears went out and got a corner and a safety with their top two picks. That's not how to do it. Create controversies, fire his coach after a year, bring in another first-time coach, a first-time coordinator, let Allen Robinson go. I mean, and now, by the way, so they brought in some receivers, second, third tier guys, and, you know, the guys that can't separate, and so Justin Fields will get blamed for that. Even lowly Detroit. We know Baltimore knows what they're doing, and Buffalo knows what they're doing. San Francisco does. But even lowly Detroit, when they move off Goff, they've set it up for their quarterback. They got an elite young tight end, an elite running back. They drafted a receiver last year and he popped. They went and got another one this year. They have two good tackles. So when they move off Goff, you will have key positions, tackle, running back for them, wide receiver. It'll be taken care of. They'll have a couple years in the league. They're setting the table up, and that's lowly Detroit. So basically the Bears' strategy, as far as I can tell, with Justin Fields, as far as I can tell, the strategy is we're going to draft you and you're going to have to fix this stuff and save us, because that's what it looked like last night. He was running for his life against a defense that's not great. Now, the good news is he throws very well on the run. He's very athletic and he'll avoid a lot of sacks, but he'll also get hit a lot. But the idea that you ask these young guys to come into this league, Zach Wilson to the Jets, Justin Field to the Bears, you're asking them to overcome so many things. Mac Jones may not be great. Trey Lance may not be great. You're not asking them to overcome a ton. I mean, Trey Lance has the weapons, the coach, the run game, the O-line. He won't have to win in shootouts, and it's an elite defense. But this is not how you do it. It's just, and I said this yesterday. Name me the last great Bears quarterback. Name me the last great Bears wide receiver. Unless you live in Chicago, you couldn't give me two that have been really good. I mean, who's their best receiver ever? Alshon Jeffrey? Certainly good, but do you have a top seven receiver for the Packers all time? So it's just not how you do it. Now, here's another young quarterback, Kenny Pickett of the Steelers. So the Steelers play the Jags, that being tomorrow. So this is very interesting. So Mike Tomlin, I think he's seeing what everybody's seeing. He's going to play Kenny Pickett more early in the game.
All three guys have performed well. I really think the main emphasis and the mentality regarding how we structured it this week is we just simply want to see Kenny in more varsity action. We know more about Mason. Mitch has been around the professional game, obviously.
Exactly. Everybody in the world knows what Trubisky is. We've seen it. Highs and lows. Everybody all these years in knows what Mason Rudolph is. We've seen it. The only quarterback the Steelers have that we really don't know if it could be special, because Trubisky and Mason Rudolph are not special. Capable, not special. It's Kenny Pickett. Why not play him against the Jags? Size him up. Trevor Lawrence, one offense. Kenny Pickett, the other offense. Size him up. Now, people look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and they could say, well, they didn't play Mahomes initially. That's not apples for apples. That's a bad comp. He was behind Alex Smith. People forget how good Alex Smith was. In the 4 years, Alex Smith was in Kansas City pre-Mahomes. He made the playoffs three times. Then they drafted Mahomes, and Alex Smith, feeling the pressure of the young kid, made the Pro Bowl. He was 41-20 in Kansas City. He was a playoff quarterback. He was a Pro Bowl quarterback at the end. And Mahomes also in college had a losing record, was a wild, unrefined talent, and was out of an offense in the Big 12. Nobody knew if it would work in the NFL. Kenny Pickett, pro-style offense, four-year starter, played in the stadium. You watched him play, and he just won the ACC. Don't compare sitting behind Alex Smith with Mahomes' college career to sitting behind Trubisky with Kenny Pickett's college career. Now, again, if you'd have drafted Kenny Pickett last year, you can sit him behind Big Ben. That I totally get. Because Big Ben may have aged very quickly, but he still had some special. Big Ben had some moments. I think you can look it up. I think he led the NFL last year in fourth quarter comebacks. He was near the top. So Ben's got some special. Aging, but you know what Trubisky is. You know what Mason Rudolph is. You don't know what Kenny Pickett is. Well, when are you going to find out? I'd find out the next two games that don't count. Let me see something. Put him right up on the field with Trevor Lawrence, and let's see it. A little comp, side by side. Let's watch him play. But Greg Cosell kind of feels the same way I do. He came on yesterday about Kenny Pickett and what to do with him.
They know what Trubisky is. Everybody does, Colin. Yet they drafted Kenny Pickett with the 20th pick in the first round. That really told you all you needed to know. And when you watch Pickett, obviously it's one preseason game, and I'm a firm believer, and I say this all the time, I'm never defining a player's career on a preseason game. But Pickett just has the look and feel of an NFL quarterback. He's strong in the pocket. He's decisive. He's precise with his ball location. Does he leave the pocket too soon at times? Yes. That may come with experience. He can move. He has second reaction ability. I think Kenny Pickett is their best quarterback and should be the week one starter.
By the way, this is what concerns me about young quarterbacks. Chicago gave their young quarterback a defensive head coach. Kenny Pickett's going to work with a defensive head coach. Seattle is going to draft quarterback with a defensive head coach. We see the Patriots, lack of sensibility with offense. Matt Patricia now is Mac Jones offensive coordinator, or is it Joe Judge this series? Like, I think it matters that if you have a defensive coach, it's a little check against development of quarterbacks. That's why I think Jacksonville getting Doug Peterson, first thing Doug Peterson did, all they want to do is improve the O-line, get receivers. I mean, now they're using ATN, the running back, Travis ATN, they get last year from Clemson. He's going to be out in receiving routes. I mean, they are going to bring in all sorts of looks. I worry about Justin Fields, and I worry about Kenny Pickett. If at this point a 24-year-old with 4 years starting just won the ACC, what are you waiting for? We know what's in the room. He's the only guy we don't know what we get. So this is the time to play him.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5, and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Chad Finn is a journalist in Boston for the Boston Globe. He wrote an article about, and the headline is, Mac Jones doesn't have to be a superstar for the Patriots to flourish again. First of all, people always undervalued how athletic Tom Brady was because he didn't run very fast during the combine. He was drafted by Major League Baseball and got a scholarship to Michigan. So he's a pretty good athlete. And the legendary stories is USC, desperately, their offensive coordinator, Mike Riley, wanted to give Brady a scholarship, and they went in a different direction. So Tom didn't become the GOAT because he's not athletic. Tom, when you're drafted by two leagues in America, you're an athlete. Mac Jones is not. But the line in this story that gets me is Mac Jones is poised, deeply dedicated to improving, and he's a natural leader. Well, aren't those the bare minimum for a quarterback in 2022? Hey, our guys, he's got a work ethic. He's dedicated to improving. Well, I hope so. We just drafted him in the first round. I hope he's dedicated to improving. Hey, he's a natural leader. Well, he's a quarterback. Of course, he better have natural leadership abilities. Well, he's poised. Well, okay. It sounds like a lot of intangibles. I get Dak and Tua, all I get's intangibles. In 2022, quarterback's got to be a little more special. I want some arms, some size, some athletic ability. I want confidence. I want playmaking. First-round quarterback, and you're telling me he's got a work ethic, he's got some natural leadership abilities. That is the bare minimum to me. The other thing is, number one, New England doesn't have an elite offensive player. Not one, not a playmaker. So, unfortunately, Mac Jones does have to be special. He does. He doesn't even have an offensive coordinator who's an offensive coordinator. So he's going to have to make some stuff happen. Number two is, those qualities which you're bragging about are not qualities that would be outrageous. They are just the standard. The foundation of the house for a quarterback is he's a worker and he can lead other men. That is the basics. You don't draft a quarterback in the first round if that's not part of it. Kyler Murray was small. You can still draft him. You know, Lamar needed working on his throwing. You can still draft him. But you got to be able to lead teams down the field. You got to be able to do basic stuff like, you know, work. So, and you know, Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan had Super Bowls that got quarterbacks that got to a Super Bowl in Goff and Jimmy Garoppolo. Those are Super Bowl quarterbacks. And these are offensive coaches. And they moved off both because they saw what special does at quarterback. So McVay and Shanahan, who are great at squeezing every bit of talent out of quarterbacks, got two guys to the Super Bowl. And they're like, that's not good enough. So what does that tell you? The defensive-laden Patriots are not going to give Mac Jones the intellectual offensive gifts and refinement that McVay gave Goff or Shanahan gave Garoppolo. You're not getting that with what they have on that staff. Josh McDaniels could have. He just walked out the door. So I don't buy this. And in the headline basically saying, Mac doesn't have to be a superstar for the Patriots to flourish. Also, in Brady's prime, and Brady was way more athletic than Mac Jones, but in Brady's prime, he had Peyton Manning and Big Ben to get through. Look at the gauntlet of ASC quarterbacks now. It's incredible. AFC's got like 8-10 elite quarterbacks, and I'm not counting Mac Jones. So I don't buy the intangibles of Mac Jones. You'll be able to flourish with those. I don't think so. I don't buy that at all.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike McCarthy was talking yesterday about the penalties, and I had said this yesterday. Recently, Lincoln Riley, the coach of USC, came out and said you can't be paralyzed by getting penalties. Many of the best college football teams through the years have had penalties, and a lot of penalties. So I went and looked up last year in the NFL the penalty leaders, and we went and looked them up. And Dallas led by a lot, but five of the top six penalty leaders had winning records. And of the top 11 penalized teams last year, six of the top 11 made the playoffs. So it was good team, kind of good team, bad team. It was all over the map. So penalties are, it's not just getting penalties. That does not disqualify you from getting to the Super Bowl. You want fewer than more. But for Dallas, it feels like to me, it's not just the penalties. It's against who and when. So obviously the playoff game against the Niners, they melted down and had 14. That Thanksgiving game against the Raiders, big TV game, everybody's watching it, they had 14. They're playing Arizona at the end of the year, right? There was a chance that those two could meet again in the playoffs. They had 10. So playoff game, Thanksgiving, big TV game, big end of the year game. It's when they get them. By the way, in one of those 1 o'clock window sort of games against Washington, they had three. Against the Giants, they had six. Very standard. Those are bad teams. For me, it's not the penalties. It's when they happen, offensive side of the ball. And it just feels like to me when they get into big games or they get into crisis or they get an elite opponent, they melt down. You know, and by the way, everybody in the NFL melts down virtually every game. I'll give you an example. Rams were one of the least penalized teams, but they had penalties. And also Matt Stafford led the NFL in interceptions. So remember the Tennessee game? So the Rams melted down. Rams meltdown. Remember the game they played the Buccaneers? And for about a half hour on our screen, they had this lead on Tampa, and they just melted down. They snapped the ball over Stafford's head. They got Jalen Ramsey got beat badly up the sideline. You're like, oh, they're melting down. They had four penalties in that game. So everybody gets burned over the top. Everybody throws a bad pick. Centers will snap it over your head. Well, I'm not asking the Cowboys to be perfect, but they had four penalties in that game. And that's my problem with Dallas. When do they come? Against what team do they come? And it feels like they melt down against really good teams in really big spots. And that's the difference. I mean, you know, you go look at the slide game when they lose the playoff game, the Dak slide game. Again, in crisis, they're not buttoned up. That's the play of the year, not buttoned up. And but just bang on the Cowboys because they get penalties. Got to be careful on that. So in fact, where's my list of the penalty teams? So yeah, Dallas led the league in penalties. Well, the Raiders were second. They made the playoffs. The Chargers were third. They were pretty good. Arizona was fourth. Okay, Houston was fifth. Buffalo was sixth. Kansas City was eighth. But I did, you know, with Buffalo, I don't feel like, in fact, the Raiders are a great example. I thought they were great in crisis last year. I thought they were limited. I thought they had kind of only one way to win. They got to win by shootout. They couldn't stop anybody. But in the crisis moments for the Raiders last year, they were great against Indy. They were great against the Chargers. They rose above who they probably are. So you can have the same record. You can both get into the playoffs. Dallas shrinks with the Heat. I thought the Raiders rose in it. The Raiders can't stop anybody. They can't stop elite offenses. So penalties alone are not it. Mike McCarthy this week talked about the excessive penalties.
Well, I think we all recognize that this isn't the regular season. So, I understand, your question. And this is really the starting point that you go through every year. So this is preseason. I don't think this has anything to do with last year. I mean, obviously, you guys get to write what you want. You know, I was a little surprised they'd call that many penalties in preseason one. So, but that's you need to go through that. I mean, this will help us get ready. This is what it looks like, unfortunately, sometimes. But we will be better from it. I do have great confidence in that.
By the way, the NFL preseason week one average was 6.5 penalties. The Cowboys had 17. So, again, nobody's saying this is a crisis point. It's not a big game. But the idea that, hey, we're playing a bunch of young guys. The entire league is playing a bunch of young guys, and they had 6.5 penalties. So when do you get them? Big spot, small spot, because everybody in this league at some point melts down.
Mic check. Mic check.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcast from.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think Steve Young does a great job as a broadcaster. But he was critical of the Baltimore Ravens, which for most of us in the last 20 years, when you say Ravens, I don't know, I think well-owned, well-run, well-coached, well-quarterbacked, pretty good operation, in my opinion. But he was criticizing them for how they're stunting the growth of Lamar Jackson.
My position is they will never get to championship football without a sophisticated passing game. That's not anything to do with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is a complete player that is being not trained in being a sophisticated passer. They double down again back to all the great things that Lamar does. Great. But until he gets the chance to show that he is a sophisticated passer of the football in a sophisticated passing game that is properly, you know, invested in, which they never have done, to Robert's point just a minute ago. They don't invest in it. They don't teach it. And now you ask them, why isn't he getting paid to be Patrick Mahomes? Because they haven't given him a chance to be Patrick Mahomes.
No, he's not Patrick Mahomes because he's not Patrick Mahomes. I'm gonna go the other way. Yeah, he's not going to be Patrick Mahomes. Or maybe even a Joe Burrow. But let's be careful here. The argument that they're not supporting him. Go look at the draft picks. It's pretty remarkable what Baltimore has done since Lamar Jackson entered the league. Okay, the year they brought him in, their next picks were two tight ends and then a tackle.
That tight end, Mark Andrews, one of the best in the league. The next year, 2019, first and third round picks, receivers. The next year, very good picks. J.K. Dobbins, a receiver and a guard. This year, a center, a receiver, and a guard, first three rounds. That is 12 picks since the draft he was drafted. 12 of their first, second, or third picks to support Lamar Jackson. The other thing is, it's a theoretical argument. If you have really talented people, I don't think you try to alter what they are. I think you try to refine and support what they are. Lamar runs a 4.3. He's arguably the fastest player in the history of the league at quarterback. Lean into it. They went and got Greg Roman. Lean into what he is. Don't try to make him what he's not. I don't know the level of sophistication of the offense, but they have. There's an argument. No team in the league has drafted more players to help a player than the Ravens have drafted to help Lamar. And I think, by the way, this idea that he wasn't improving. So Patrick Mahomes, year one as a starter, had 50 touchdown passes. He's never duplicated that. Is he not growing? Dan Marino, Super Bowl, year two, never got back. Did he not grow? I think before he got hurt last year, Lamar Jackson was becoming a better thrower. The passing game was better, was more sophisticated. This idea that he hasn't gotten better. He's gotten bigger. He's gotten stronger. He's gotten more accurate. But I think they've done a great job. Look at that draft board the same year Lamar came in. They have gotten him centers, guards, tackles, receivers, tight ends, and running backs. That is how you do it. And I would push back entirely that he wasn't improving. I mean, Patrick Mahomes never had 50 touchdowns since the first year starting. Is he no good? The truth of the matter is that Kansas City doesn't want Patrick Mahomes throwing 48 times a game. The more chances to get hit. So I think I keep saying this. The Lamar Jackson offense is working. His first year he gets in, he goes 6-1. Next year MVP. Next year wins a division, wins a playoff game. And then last year was a number one or two seed in the AFC when he got hurt. It's working. Why are we nitpicking it? It's working. It's working very, very efficiently. Well, he's not winning multiple playoff games. It's hard. How many Big Ben win in his last 8 years? It's hard to win playoff games. It's hard to win games in that division now. Since he's real, Pittsburgh's loaded. Cleveland's got players.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody?
This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get back.
This came down moments ago. So there was a big quarterback battle at Texas. It was the kind of quarterback battle in college, four and five star talent. It's just been announced Quinn Ewers has beat out Hudson Card. Now, at practice, many people thought Hudson Card was better. He played last year some, had a really bad start. They benched him. So Quinn Ewers just named the starter. How it came down was weird. According to Brian Davis, said Texas brought three players to interviews. Then just out of the blue, the SID said he had a message from Sark. Quinn Ewers is the starter. You could hear a pin drop. Wow. You know, I am rooting for Sark. So most of the really big brands in all of sports are winning. I mean, the Steelers, the Packers, the Cowboys, and the Niners all made the playoffs last year. The Celtics and the Warriors are great, and the Lakers did win. They're relevant, and they won in the bubble 3 years ago, right? 3 or 4 years ago. In baseball, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Braves, you know, all really good. In college basketball, Kansas just won, Carolina, Duke, UCLA. Even in college football, the big brands are doing well. Notre Dame's now as good as they've been in 20 years. Bama's good. Ohio State's great. Michigan's good. Oklahoma's still good. But Texas is a huge brand. The last time college football got a huge ranking, like a 2021, when Texas played USC. Texas is a huge football brand. They have been a mess for 12 years. I mean, they've won double digits once in 12 years. This is their, in 12 years, 12 straight years, they haven't won the Big 12. 12 years, they've had five losing seasons. So Sark is their fourth coach in a decade. They got to get it right. Since they created the college football playoff, they have not been in the top 10 since its inception. So, in fact, I was digging even deeper on Texas. I went and looked at their bowls they've been in recent years. In the last decade, they've been in four Alamo Bowls and two Texas Bowls. So six of their last seven bowls, they literally could ride a bus to the bowl. So the goal for Texas should be, let's qualify for a bowl that we have to fly to it. Because right now, they're the bus program. They can ride a bus to their bowl games. So we are rooting for Texas to get off the bus and to get on a plane for their bowl games. Quinn Ewers is the starter. Joel Klatt recently this week talked about the direction and Sark in this season.
If I were doing a full top 25, they would be somewhere in that 15 to 18 range. That's where I think that they would probably sit for me to begin the year. I think that they've got a really good team. They've got what I think is the best running back in college football in Bijan Robinson. Their quarterback position should be improved. Their offensive line should be improved. So they've been dealing with some injuries. They've already had a suspension. So their camp is not going well. When you look at that date in particular, the second week of the season against Alabama, Sark has to perform this year. I think that they underperformed last year. They lost some close games that they shouldn't, and they should be a team that wins 8 or 9 games, maybe gets to that 10-win plateau this season.
And I don't think that's unrealistic. Second year for Bob Stoops at Oklahoma. They were great.
Second year, Pete Carroll was 6-6 first year at SC. Second year, they popped. First year, Saban lost to Louisiana Monroe at Bama. Second year, they were good. They weren't great. They were great the third year. But at a big brand program, a Bama, Ohio State, the USC's, you gotta pop at least in the second half of your second year. This is not pro football where, you know, if you just don't have a quarterback, you can't win. Texas, USC, I mean, USC, Lincoln Riley, I read a number the other day. It's like they got rid of 54 players. I mean, they literally changed the whole, you know, 65% of the roster. So you got to win this year. So Quinn Ewers is the quarterback, like a five-star quarterback. I've seen just YouTube video of him. He's got a huge arm. Who knows? But it was announced. You could hear a pin drop. It was announced oddly today. So hook 'em horns. I'm rooting for them. They're good for the sport.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I don't think Carson Wentz is a bad guy at all. I think he's talented. But the Colts owner, Jim Irsay, crushed him after the season. Put all the blame on Carson Wentz. And he was talking, I mean, Carson Wentz had 27 TDs and 7 picks. he was the league's ninth highest quarterback rating. But Jim Irsay said once again yesterday was very critical of Carson Wentz, who'd left town a long time ago.
When you look at what this team has and had before, even though we went through the season we went through with some inconsistency at quarterback, and that led to massive problems. But this team, when you look at the special teams, when you look at the turnovers that we created, when you look at Jonathan Taylor and you look at the offensive line, you know, there's a lot of special things there.
Okay, there are some special things there. But not at the special places. Their best player's a guard and a linebacker and a running back. I mean, it's nice to have good players there. You don't want them to be your best players. At left tackle, they're not special. They have one legit big-time receiver. I mean, how many do the Buccaneers have? How many Chiefs have? Bills, Rams, Chargers. The Rams and the Bills are like betting favorites, I believe, to win the Super Bowl. Notice where they're great. Quarterback, weapons, depth of weapons, edge rusher, or a great pass rusher, Von Miller added, Aaron Donald, and they have a great lockdown corner. Where are the Colts great? They're not great at left tackle. They're not wildly dynamic with Matt Ryan at quarterback. Michael Pittman's good. I think he's the best two in the league. Maybe he's a one. I would like to be good at running back, good at linebacker, and good at guard. But I wouldn't want them to be my best players. There's a belief in the league you can't pay guards and you can't pay linebackers. And Darius Leonard is hurt a lot. So Matt Ryan's going to find this out very quickly, is that Carson Wentz, who is a very aggressive player, played recklessly. Well, a lot of times he was just trying to make a play that his wide receiver crew couldn't. He was trying to make plays. Because you got to have big plays to win. And outside of Pittman, they didn't have really anybody that could deliver down the field for them on the perimeter. So what you had is Carson Wentz, a bit of a playmaker. Now, Matt Ryan's not. So Matt Ryan is not going to make some of the mistakes Carson Wentz did. But he's also not going to escape a lot of the problems Carson Wentz did. So Matt Ryan, the quarterback for the Colts, whoever it is going to be asked, Phillip Rivers, Wentz, Matt Ryan, asked to solve issues that are in personnel. I mean, Michael Pittman's really good, but what two, three, four, where are they at? So, I get people not loving all that Carson Wentz does. Matt Stafford led the NFL in interceptions. They won the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz was the ninth highest rated quarterback, QBR, 27 TDs, 7 picks. He was not terrible. I mean, look at his numbers. That's not terrible. His passing rating is 95. He melted down against Jacksonville. For whatever reason, through the years, I don't have it in front of me, but it feels like the Colts melt down in Jacksonville occasionally. Like two out of every 3 years, they melt down. So, I mean, you can keep, there are just, and again, I think the Colts are well run and well owned and well GM'd and well coached, but there are this, it's a weird thing in the NFL now. As the game has changed, it's like analytics in basketball, in baseball. There are certain things in baseball you got to pay big money for. There are certain things in basketball, versatile wing defenders, especially if they can hit a three, like Andrew Wiggins is suddenly so valuable. He can defend, he can hit a three, he can drive, versatile wing defenders in the NFL. Jason Tatum, wildly valuable right now in the league. Not that he wasn't always good, but when I grew up with watching basketball, like most of you, it was centers. Everybody had to have a big. Like if a back to the basket big in the NBA is a liability. You want your guy, you want Giannis, you want Jokic, you want facing the basket, putting it on the floor, initiating offense. And so in the NFL, we just live in a time now because a rule change is you got to be good at quarterback, got to have an elite left tackle, you got to have multiple weapons. You also have to have a shutdown corner because all the good teams have multiple weapons, and you got to have an edge rusher, an elite pass rusher. And that's what the Bills have, and that's what the Rams have, and that now is what the Chargers have. Kansas City, Denver, by the way, that's what they think they have. So, Cleveland, I mean, they're going to be a mess with Deshaun Watson, but they got Myles Garrett. You got Amari Cooper. You've got a great edge rusher. Denzel Ward's a great corner. There's certain things you have to be good at in the NFL right now that maybe in the 70s, 80s. In the 70s and 80s, if, you know, your best player was a linebacker, that was good. I mean, right now, a great example. Seattle's got some great players. Two of them are at safety. The Bears, for the last several years, have had really high-end players. They're all like linebackers. You know, it's like they don't have a second receiver. So and that said, I think the Colts probably figure out a way to win the division. Jacksonville's in a rebuild. Houston's in a rebuild. I don't think Tennessee will be a number one seed. They lost their best receiver. I don't feel like Tennessee will always be capable with Mike Vrabel, but I don't feel a lot of special. And I think the Colts have a chance to win the division, but it is really hard in this day and age. The best teams in this league have checked about six boxes, and running back, linebacker, and guard are nice positions. They're not crucial. I'm not even sure the Rams currently love. I mean, let's be honest, running back for the Bills. Many people think I don't think it's a weakness, but they don't love their running backs. They'd rather have Josh Allen run. Cam Akers for the Rams. They went and drafted another running back because he fumbles. So those are the linebacker for the Bengals and the Rams in the Super Bowl, arguably their weakest units.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
James Jones, Super Bowl champ, former Packer wide receiver, decade in the league, 7 playoff appearances in 8 years with Green Bay. So I like this. I defended Aaron Rodgers this week because I've criticized him for being passive-aggressive. Yeah. I would much rather be him direct and upfront. Mm-hmm. I think that's better leadership. So when he gets a little passive-aggressive, I've been critical and said that, come on, Brady will bark at you. Yeah, Manning will bark at you.
100%.
So here's Aaron Rodgers talking about his young receivers this week.
The young guys, you know, they got to, especially young receivers, we got to be way more consistent. You know, a lot of drops, a lot of, bad route decisions, run the wrong route. So we gotta get better in that area. Keep dropping the ball, you're not gonna be out there. So it's gonna be the most reliable guys that are out there. There's gonna be physical mistakes that we talked about, but if you're going out there and dropping the ball and somebody else behind you is in the right spot all the time and catching the ball, that guy's gonna play.
That's my favorite Aaron Rodgers. Now, the next day, there was a meeting called, mm-hmm. and Aaron spoke, didn't call the meeting. Yeah. So first of all, what do you make of the criticism publicly? Some argue, Jason said, if you said, can't you just do that privately?
Yeah.
My takeaway is, if you can't handle criticism publicly, you shouldn't be in the league.
Well, my thing is what are we trying to do? Like, this team can win a Super Bowl. That's what we're trying to accomplish. This team can win a Super Bowl. So that's what we're trying to get done. Number two, if you're playing this game, you cannot be sensitive. It is about production. How can we get the best out of players? These are young receivers coming in. Last time I was on your show, I said you have to earn Aaron Rodgers' trust. You are not going to earn Aaron Rodgers' trust going out there running the wrong route, not being where you're supposed to be, dropping the football. So if you're doing those things, you're not going to play. I'm going to make sure I talk to Coach LaFleur. floor. Do not put him out there. Put him out there because I trust him more to go out there and at least be where he's supposed to be. I love it. I love him coming out here, calling out the young receivers because, number one, that is going to force them. Let me get in my playbook. Let me study a little more so I could be where I'm supposed to be. Let me focus a little more, go out here and earn Aaron Rodgers' trust to make plays. You cannot be sensitive in this league. So many people are soft in this league when you criticize somebody or get on somebody. We're trying to win. I used to tell Aaron Rodgers straight up, where I come from, get on me. If I am not doing my job, get on me. And vice versa. If you're not doing your job, I'll make, hey, bro, make that throw. Like, get that. That's about being a brother. That's about being a close football team. That's about holding each other accountable because all we are trying to do is win.
Who do you believe? I don't think they have a number one receiver. People could develop into it. Sammy Watkins is talented, yeah, but he hasn't played a full season. At this point in his career, he's a little like Anthony Davis of the Lakers. When he's there, he's good.
Yeah.
Not always there. So Aaron wants to develop a relationship, mm-hmm, where I got a 16, 17-week guy.
Yeah.
So who's their one to you?
Right now, it has to be Lazar. But I think when it's all said and done, I think it's going to be Romeo. I think it's going to be Dobbs. What I've seen from him on field, how he's moving, how he runs routes, as he gets more comfortable and he understands the offense, he understands reading defenses and what defenses are trying to do to him, he's a big play waiting to happen. He could go up and make the tough catch. He's really quick off the line of scrimmage. I think when it's all said and done, Coach LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers is going to put this young fella in position in the offense to go out there and have opportunities to make plays, and I think he's going to capitalize on that. I love everything I'm seeing from him. He can run. He's big. He's quick. He can do all those things. So I think if he's one of those guys that's out there that Aaron Rodgers is calling out, handle your business and get out there because I think he could really have a big part in this offense.
Listen, we know that quarterbacks like to throw the ball.
Yep.
They always say this. Offensive linemen love to run block. Mm-hmm. They love to go downhill.
No,
they don't love pass blocking because it's harder,
yeah,
right? And they're usually less athletic than the guy rushing the passer. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks like to throw.
Yeah.
How will it sit with Aaron if Matt LaFleur, who developed a run game in Tennessee and has certainly helped Aaron Jones, if he says, listen, Aaron, I need you to throw about 26 times. We're going to be run first. We're going to be 56, 44. Is that we're going to be 56, 44. I'm very mathy. How would that sit with a two-time MVP if we're going to take about four throws a Sunday away from you?
Well, I don't think Aaron Rodgers will mind that at all. You know, because I mean, if this is where the strength of our offense, I don't think he'll mind that at all. I think the trouble is going to come with LaFleur, are you going to do that? Because we're all looking at Aaron Rodgers like this is the baddest man on the planet throwing the football. Are you going to be that coach saying, hey, I know I have the baddest man on the planet throwing the football, but I'm going to take some of these throws away from him to run it? I think Coach LaFleur has the tougher decision. Aaron Rodgers is going to be good with anything. If us toting it and running the football is going to help us win some ball games or get us in really good third down situations and we could get to a bunch of good little routes, then let's run it. Take some of them throws away from me. But is Coach LaFleur going to say, I'm taking the ball out of the best player in the world's hands to hand it off?
Yeah, no, it's because listen, the two places the Packers are really good. Corner, mm-hmm, and running back, they're as good as anybody in the league.
Anybody.
Play to your strengths.
Yep.
Okay.
And
so
in the pass game, Aaron Rodgers came out and said, these two dudes possibly are going to have 50-plus catches each.
Yeah.
That is big. So that tells me Aaron Jones going to be on the outside catching some footballs, a lot of screen passes, a lot of short pass game. Get the ball into your best player's hands.
So you interviewed Devontae Adams August 11th. Talking about, you know, leaving Green Bay, going to the Raiders, and Derek Carr, who's college teammate. What was your biggest takeaway on that interview?
My biggest takeaway is how hungry he still is. You know, everybody has him labeled as the best receiver in the game, and a lot of people, including myself, say it's not close. You know, and he's just like that. But sitting down with him and just understanding how hungry he still is to show people that, number one, I'm that guy. Number two, I can do it with any quarterback. You know, number three, I want to win a Super Bowl. You know, I'm all pro. I'm Pro Bowl. I done did all these things, but I haven't got to the biggest game. I've lost some NFC championship games. So just how hungry he is to still be the best wide receiver out there is, it really just jumps off the interview. And when you do get a chance to watch the interview, it just jumps off. And another thing that stood out to me is how humble. I don't know if you guys know Coach Keith Williams, the pass game coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, basically raised me and Devontae Adams. So he has a way of truly keeping you humble. No matter how good you think you are, of truly keeping you humble. So last year, as good as the year, Devontae, he shared a story, as good as the year that he was having last year, our coach called him and said, you playing like this NBA player, really good NBA player. I'm not going to say his name. Really good NBA player, all-star, you know, really good career, but you not playing like Bron. Bron is labeled as the best player in the NBA. You playing like this player. And he said, I'm thinking like, man, I can't be stopped. I'm this, I'm that, I'm that, I'm the best. Everybody's saying I'm the best. And he done brought me all the way back down to this. And it helped me even play harder. So it's a really good interview of really how he's just motivated to keep going.
You know, it is amazing. You think about how much football talent there is in the world. There's an argument to be made. The two best receivers, one went to Fresno State. Mm-hmm. And one went to Eastern Washington University, Cooper Cup.
Yep.
And Stephon Diggs, by the way, who I love, I think he's an argument he's the best.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Maryland.
Maryland. Yeah.
Basketball school. There is a lot of talent in the world. So we've talked about this. I know Mitch Trubisky's ceiling.
Yeah.
And I know Mason Rudolph's ceiling. Mm-hmm. Not being critical, they're pro athletes.
Yeah.
But I've seen it. The good days, the bad days.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea with Kenny Pickett's.
Yeah.
So it's different. When Mahomes came in, he sat behind Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Well, Alex Smith had made the playoffs 3 out of 4 years before Mahomes was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
When he was drafted, Alex made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
So I'm okay sitting behind. I mean, Alex Smith was playing at an elite level.
No doubt.
Maybe a ceiling.
Yeah.
Okay, Mitch Trubisky's not that.
Mm-mm.
So my takeaway is, even if Trubisky's better, there's a strong possibility his ceiling is lower than Pickett.
Yeah.
And the only way I get to that ceiling is play him.
Yeah.
You're not going to reach. Now, you can learn things not starting.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to reach your ceiling not playing.
Yeah.
To me, it's an obvious one. How do you land on that?
But my thing is you can learn things from not starting, but it's all about who you're learning things from. Like you said, we know Mitch's ceiling. Mitch's ceiling gives us 8 games, possibly, winning 8 games, right? Maybe 9. That's what Mitch has shown us over his career, his ceiling, right? If Kenny Pickett is checking every single box that you need him to check, I am putting him out there with the starters this week if I'm Coach Tomlin. I'm putting him out there. You go out there, play against the number ones, and if he is checking every box, he is my day one starter. I drafted this young fella to be the franchise quarterback. If he's checked every box, even though we brought Mitch Trubisky over here and signed him to a contract, if he's checking every box, he is going to be my day one starter, because I truly believe drafting this kid in the first round, his ceiling is higher than Mitch Trubisky.
I think so too.
What Mitch has shown us, Kenny Pickett's ceiling is higher than his. The best teacher is going out there and playing. I understand a lot of quarterbacks have sat behind great quarterbacks and learned some stuff and came out there and played really well.
I do think you can learn some things not playing.
Yeah.
You don't reach a ceiling not playing.
No, but this young fella right here needs to go out there and play football. And in practice and in these preseason games, if he is checking every single box, he is the day one starter, period. Derek Carr came in as a rookie. They traded for Matt Schaub. All Coach Dennis Allen kept coming in and me saying is, Matt Schaub is our guy. There is no quarterback controversy. And Derek Carr come out there in training camp, whoom, 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 throwing the ball all over the yard. Come in preseason, whoom, 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 throwing the ball all over the yard. And as players, we looking like, man. And Dennis Allen came in there before that first game and said, hard decision, but Derek Carr is the guy. You got what I'm saying? So at the end of the day,
if he puts numbers up in his next
start, Derek Carr's ceiling was higher than Matt Schaub. And he checked every box.
Yeah.
It's his show.
Yeah, that's good. I don't know what the Steelers' schedule is. The division's off. Do you have the Steelers? So look at the Steelers' schedule.
Mm.
Okay, so let's talk this through.
Good game.
That's can you make the argument I start Trubisky for 5 games and then I it feels like it gets easier as the but you know what? It's an NFL schedule.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about this. That's an NFL schedule. Tough opening game. First 2 weeks, you're going to face Joe Burrow and those weapons, and then Belichick, who eats rookie quarterbacks for lunch. And then I get Myles Garrett week 3. Now I get a layup in week 4, but then I have to go to Buffalo, and then I have to face Brady. In the end, that's an NFL schedule. So my argument is, if it had started really soft, then you say, okay, we're going to give Kenny, let's go. But that's just your typical NFL. Every other week, you got big challenge.
But at the end of the day, as a coach, you can't look at the schedule. You look at who gives us the best chance. Because even Mitch going into that schedule, If he's not better than Kenny Pickett or Kenny Pickett's ceiling is higher, who gives us the best chance to go out here and win these ball games? Yes, it's a really tough schedule. Three really tough games coming out the gate. But if the young fella checked every box and he gives us the best chance to win games, put him out there no matter who's on the schedule. And that's what the Raiders did.
Okay, Justin Fields running for his life last night. What's your gut feeling on this thing?
My gut feeling is eventually he's going to be fine. This year, I don't know how he's going to be. I'm a really big fan in his offensive coordinator and Coach Luke Getsy. I'm a really big fan. Did really good things with Aaron Rodgers. Been around him for a long time. I love Coach Luke. I think eventually he will get this thing going. He's going to run the football. He's going to make sure Justin Fields is going to be getting outside this pocket. But the thing is he doesn't have the guys. I really don't care what type of quarterback you are. If you do not have the guys on the outside that could win right now,
that's right,
to be able
they
to help
one,
you.
They got one, Moody. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Mooney is going to be a big-time player in our league, a number one wide receiver. Absolutely love him. Turn the tape on Mooney, and it ain't too many receivers out there that's playing better than him. The kid has everything. But he has one guy that can really win right now. So if you take him away, he doesn't really have the weapons on the outside to get the ball out of his hands fast, knowing that they're going to win consistently. So he's going to hold the ball a little bit longer when they are passing the football, and that's going to cause him running, getting outside the pocket, scrambling and all that, because the O-line is not big time. But eventually when they build team guys around him, I think he will be better. But this year, I think you're going to still see a lot of Justin Fields running for his life.
Yeah, good stuff today, James Jones. You brought it today. You had
appreciate it, man.
You fastballs only today. No breaking stuff. The NFL Network, the Super Bowl champ, decade in the NFL, and defending Aaron Rodgers. And I think he's right today. Good seeing you, bud.
Thanks, buddy.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.